saved from the storm. The evening had been warm and sultry. Everyone was hot and tired. So was little Jessie, and when Mother told her to go to bed, she was actually glad to go. But when the light was put out, she was just a little bit frightened, for from far away in the distance came the long, rolling boom of thunder. Now and then the whole room was lighted up with bright flashes of lightning. Jessie didn't like storms, so she shut her eyes tight and said a little prayer, asking Jesus to take care of her. Then the rain came. Down and down it came. And while it was raining, little Jessie went to sleep. How long she slept, she didn't know. It seemed only a minute, though it must have been hours. Then something woke her, something startling and terrifying. It was Mother's voice, and she was frightened. "Jessie, Jessie, quick, wake up," Mother was saying as she gently shook her. As Jessie awoke, she heard another sound, the most strange and dreadful noise she had heard in all her life. It was a terrible roaring, like one great peal of thunder that would not stop. Jessie was very much frightened now. "Oh, Mama, Mama, what's the matter?" she called. "It's a tornado, and it's right upon us," said Mother. "We must pray, darling. I'll wake Daddy and get him to pray, too." Daddy awoke with a start and jumped out of bed. He guessed at once what was wrong. They knelt down by the bed, Mother on one side of Jessie, Daddy on the other, their arms crossed over the little girl's head as though to protect her from danger. By this time the fearful roaring seemed right overhead, and there were other sounds now, as of windows being shattered and things being torn to pieces. "Dear Jesus, please take care of us," one of them began. Crash! There was a terrific noise as the house next door was smashed by the fury of the wind. "Dear Jesus, please don't let the storm—" Crash! Another awful sound told that the house on the other side had gone now. Crash! Now it was the house across the street. "Oh, Jesus, help! Save us! Please save us!" So they prayed. Well, all the time those loving, sheltering arms were close over Jessie's head, and above those arms were other arms, stronger still and yet more loving, the everlasting arms of God. When the storm had passed, the light of morning revealed a scene of awful desolation, with trees uprooted and the wreckage of houses strewn all around. For a block and a half, every building had been smashed, with one exception, the house where Jessie, Mother, and Daddy had prayed. Today another storm threatens the whole world. Many people are frightened as they see and hear it coming, but Jesus doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to trust Him always, with all our hearts. No matter what happens, He would have us keep calm and confident, believing that in His own good time, all will be well. Then He whispers to us these precious promises. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Underneath are the everlasting arms," He assures us, "arms of love, sheltering love, under us and over us always, just like the arms that sheltered little Jessie. As the storm comes nearer, Jesus will not forget His promises. But let us not forget to pray, and keep on praying till the skies are clear again. Then one day the storm will pass, peace will come again, glorious eternal peace, and we shall see so clearly then how Jesus has indeed done all things well. Two burglar stories. The power of God's law. Paula was frightened. She was all alone in the house, and it was getting late. The missionary and his wife had been suddenly called away on a long trip into the mountains, and she had agreed to stay in the house and keep an eye on things till they should return. But they hadn't come back. What should she do? She wanted, oh, so much, to go to her own home. But how could she? She had agreed to stay there till they came, and she couldn't break her promise. If only someone else were with her, it wouldn't be so bad. But to be alone at night, with so many bad people around, those bad people worried her. She had heard so much about them. In this part of Peru, thieves were constantly breaking into houses and stealing everything they could carry away. No one dared leave a window or door open or unlocked. Thieves had been known even to put their arms through open windows in broad daylight, quickly grab anything they could reach, and run off with it. Too afraid to sit still, Paula walked nervously from room to room, keeping the lights on everywhere, so that if there should be a thief around, he would think everybody was home and stay away. Sometimes, just to keep up her courage, she would stand still and read one of the Bible texts that the missionary had hung on the wall. It did her heart good to read, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them." Or, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Most of all, Paula was impressed by a big chart of the Ten Commandments, which hung right opposite the front door. This was the chart which the missionary used in his meetings at the church. Somehow it made her feel safer as she read the big type which said, "God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." She thought of the great God of Israel, who had saved his people from the Egyptians, and she tried to believe that he would save her from the thieves. It was nearly midnight. All was very still and silent. Not a sound could be heard anywhere, not a whisper of wind in the trees, not the bark of a dog, the bray of a donkey, or even the cry of a child. But suddenly a strange noise broke the silence. It was a scraping noise near the front door. Paula listened, petrified with fright. Yes, someone was trying to pick the lock. It must be one of the thieves. Suppose he should break in? What should she do? What could she do? Now there was a bump, then another bump. Whoever was outside the door was trying to force it open. Paula ran into a corner and huddled down behind a piece of furniture where she could see without being seen, her heart thumping so loud she felt sure the man must hear it. Suddenly there was a very loud bump and then a crash as the door burst open and flew back against the wall. In stepped a big, brawny, evil-looking man. Striding into the living room, he looked around him, as though trying to make up his mind what he should carry away. Terrified, Paula looked on. What would he steal? The clock? the ornaments on the mantelpiece, or the silverware in the bureau drawer. His keen, shrewd eyes seemed to be taking in everything as they swept around the room. Then the thief paused. His eyes had fallen upon something else, something different, something he had never seen before. It was the Ten Commandment chart. He seemed to be saying to himself, "What strange thing is this? This writing on the wall?" He went closer to examine the chart. Then he folded his arms and quietly read it all the way through. Beginning with the words, "God spake all these words, saying," he read on down through the first commandment, the second, the third, the fourth. Then he came to the fifth commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother." The sixth, "Thou shalt not kill." The seventh, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." The eighth, "Thou shalt not steal." The ninth, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor." And finally, the tenth, "Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's." Paula wondered what the thief would do when he came to the end. She was certainly not prepared for what actually happened. As he finished reading the chart, he suddenly turned on his heel and, without saying a word or taking a single thing, walked quietly out of the house. It was as though God himself had spoken to him from the words on the wall. The next day, when the missionaries returned, they found Paula all excited over her great adventure, and with half the furniture in the house piled against the front door. "Wonderful," they said as they heard her story, "what power there is in the law of God." Saved by a prayer. This happened some years ago over on the continent of Africa. Little Matilda came running into the house only to find everybody out. She called and called, but nobody answered. The house was empty, or so she thought. Then she saw something that almost frightened her to death. In the bedroom, where the bedclothes almost touched the floor, there was a big black foot sticking out. There was a man under the bed, and she alone in the house. Poor Matilda was about to scream when she stopped herself. Suddenly she remembered something her mother had told her long ago. "When afraid, tell God." She dropped to her knees and began to pray out loud. First she thanked God for all his mercies and for the way he had watched over her and blessed her all her life. Then she asked him to take care of her now and keep her from all harm and danger. Then she prayed for the people of Africa, especially for those who lived around her home. "Help them to find their way to thee," she said, pausing a moment before she concluded, "and make them good and kind and gentle as Jesus, and forgive them for all their sins." At this there was a movement under the bed. The toes of the foot began to wiggle. Then the foot began to move. Soon 2 feet were showing. Then a body came sliding out. Matilda got up from her knees quite unafraid. "Did you want something?" she said calmly to the big African boy. "No," he said. "Can I do anything to help you?" she asked. "No," he said. "I came here to rob this house, maybe to kill you. Now I can't do it. I heard you pray for my people and for me. And now I just want to go. and I won't do anything like this again, never." With that he was gone, subdued and changed by the power of a little girl's prayer. Your prayers can have power too, because the power of Jesus is there to answer them.